6, 4, and 2-year-old. And our 4-year-old is very powerful. And she did something just last night where everybody was in their beds quiet. Jillian will yell out loud like she did last night, "Hey!" And she usually says something. Well, last night she said, "We forgot our verse."
And then I forgot a glass of water. And then the light's too light and the bed's too hot. And come on, Mom. Come on, Dad. Hey, listen, Dr. Randy here. I'm chuckling because we're beyond that stage in our house, but we want to help you. We're talking parenting today. This is the Intentional Living Ministry from our Intentional Living Center at Intentional Life Media, along with Jennifer, Stephen, and a host of others. And we love you guys. We want the best for you in parenting today. We're going to have some fun. But at the same time, I'm going to ask the question, are you experiencing your parenting life the way God intended? Do you find at the end of the day feeling pretty discouraged, overwhelmed, maybe having to yell? And you know, the Bible verse that says in Ecclesiastes that the quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. Yeah. And you find that hard. Maybe you were raised with a yeller. I don't know. We're just here to help you think through what it means to be an intentional parent. Maybe it's not with a little one. Maybe it's with a teenager or even an adult child today. If you want some input, you want some help, we're here. We're glad to talk to you. Give us a call. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. If you want to tell us one thing you're doing that's working for you as a parent or a question for me, give me a call. Christian comedian Mark Lowry always puts succinctly with his humor what happens in families. Maybe you'll relate. Take a listen.
And mama is the opposite of my dad. Where dad is calm, cool, and collected, mama can't spell calm, cool, and collected. Mama is a screamer. Do you know what a screamer is? Kids, don't point. Someone you don't pay any attention to. Until she hits a certain pitch. And you know she's hit that certain pitch when garage doors fly open all over the neighborhood. She used to look at me and say, "Mark! You just wait till your dad comes home." My dad always came home. He'd walk through the door from work. First thing he'd hear is my mother. "Charles, you gotta talk to Mark." My dad would go.
Thank you, Mark, putting it succinctly. You know, it is true. Come on. We've been at this thing of parenting, helping parents for 30 years or more. And from the very beginning, when we started way back with Parent Talk, some of you remember that. We would be talking to parents and reminding you that that verse is true. Quiet words. You ever noticed that if you get down on your knees and you're very quiet, children tend to come to you. It's when you yell. Let me tell you, effectiveness in parenting has very little to do with volume. Unless, of course, there's a fire in the house or something dangerous you have to yell about, right? But other than that, the quiet words do make a difference. Follow through. That's really what we're talking about. You're welcome to join us. Maybe you have a question for me. Love to talk to you, give you some help, or tell us one thing that's making a difference in your home, in your family, that you want to pass along to some others coming up behind you. All right, let's hear the rest of that call from Wendy. Welcome to the program, Wendy.
Yes, we have 8, 6, 4, and 2-year-old, and our 4-year-old is very powerful. She is incredible in so many ways. And she did something just last night where everybody was in their beds quiet. Again, first two don't say anything after they're supposed to be in their beds quiet. Jillian will yell out loud like she did last night, "Hey!" And she usually says something. Well, last night she said, "We forgot our verse." And the verse that we are memorizing, the scripture, is on a portable chalkboard. So my husband and I are downstairs, and we say, okay, go get the chalkboard. She brings it to us, and she wants to do the verse. And those moments are so incredible. The other two would never have done that. That's the boldness that is great. But it also becomes very hard. I feel like she can manipulate everybody that's around her, because if she doesn't see the value in something, she will, you know, throw tantrums and become very loud, and it's very hard.
Yeah, and then you end up yelling, and then you feel guilty, and you go in this vicious cycle.
Oh, it's so hard. It's so emotional, because I'm usually the quieter one of the two of us, my husband and I, and he's an incredible leader in a lot of ways, and I respect him tremendously. He has a way of dealing with her tenderly. It's interesting how I, the one who's the caregiver, probably more so of the two of us as far as time goes, I gets under my, yeah, I get very emotional with her.
Yeah, he didn't finish the sentence. She gets under your what? Everything, right? And then you end up, well, yelling often is the key to that. And as we know, it's not very effective, you know, to learn to be an intentional parent. Remember, there are three reasons, or we call the purpose of misbehavior. There's always a purpose behind misbehavior. Even as adults, there's something going on, right? Now, we know sin is kind of the overlay of all of this. If we lived in the Garden of Eden before sin, we wouldn't deal with this, but we do in this world. And what happens with kids? They either want attention, and they'll do things. I mean, you know, the kids, you know, they come on, teachers, any teachers listening, you have kids in class that doing that. That's my desk, by the way. And they're making noise just to get your attention. Are they goofing off? That's attention getting behavior. And if you don't give them the right kind of attention when they want it, they'll typically escalate, and they can move from attention to power. And a powerful child is a child that will make you pay attention to them. Disrespect, loud, doing things that just you say, where's that coming from? And then, of course, ultimately it can become, you know, more destructive in later in life. But we're dealing with this thing of attention and power with kids. And basically what we're doing is we're not giving them the payoff of what they want. We don't want to give our kids attention for the wrong kind of attention-getting behavior. The only attention they should get would be either some time out or acknowledging them in some way, then moving on. But be careful with kids that are demonstrating powerful behavior and being able to step aside from that power, not getting sucked into it. Here's what happens. Powerful parents tend to raise powerful kids because we fight back with power, right? I mean, power and power. And the kids will just continue to learn that. So getting on the same page, mom and dad, being intentional, doing the next right one thing, following through lovingly, patiently, train up a child in the way he should go. It's training, even more than discipline, please. We're training, instructing. That's a powerful thing. All right. Love to have you come and join in the show today. You can be a part of Intentional Living as you call 888-888-1717 is the phone number. Going to the phone calls, who's on line one? Going to Clayton is on line one. Hi, Clayton. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's your take on all of this on parenting today?
Well, I'm kind of struggling, you know, with that myself. I kind of like your comment that you just said, you know, powerful parents raise powerful kids. Mm-hmm. I kind of consider myself, you know, as like one of those, you know, powerful people, just kind of, you know, put my foot down and try to, you know, make sure that they know the difference between right and wrong. That way, you know, I don't ever have to worry about them, that they're going to make, you know, good decisions in life. I have four kids. My oldest are 10 and 8, and then I have two younger ones that are 4 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
My two oldest ones right now aren't currently in my life, and partially because, well, I wouldn't say partially, mainly because of me and my actions that I have done over the years, kind of getting away from Jesus, walking away, and kind of, you know, thinking that I knew better, and trying to just do life on my own. And I made some bad decisions, and I got put in a bad situation, and I ended up losing my two older kids, and I haven't really reached out to them since, because I feel guilty. And I don't really know how to reach out.
All right.
To them.
What do you want? What is it that you want more than anything, Clayton, at this point in your life? What is it that you want to want different or better?
I just want them to know that I didn't give up on them.
All right. So at the end of the day, you just want them to hear from you that you care for them and love them and that you didn't give up.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but I just...
What's keeping you from communicating that to them?
It's been like a year since I've talked to them. I don't know how I'm going to explain that to them.
Are you able to talk to them? Do you have access to be able to talk to them?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, can you be honest with them? Can you tell them what's going on in your life, what God's doing in your life?
I can, yeah. I mean, I want to. It's just... it's hard, you know.
Is it guilt? Is this guilt?
Yes, it's a lot of guilt. It's a lot of guilt for stepping away in my relationship with God like I did, and ultimately, you know, making some bad decisions to where I ended up becoming homeless and I couldn't take care of my family, and you know, losing my children over it, and it took me, you know, the better part of almost a year to be able to realize that I needed, you know, to get back on the track of giving my life back up to Jesus and working.
Have you done that?
A team with him. And yes,
okay,
I have.
Amen. Do you have actually, support for yourself right now? You got some people around you encouraging you?
I do. I just recently do. After I gave my life up again, God put the most amazing woman that I could have ever asked for in my life. She is the only thing she fears is God. She is a God-fearing woman. She is amazing. She knows everything about the Bible. And if I ever have any questions, I just have to go to her and ask her. And she's been encouraging me to reach out, and she's been, you know, giving me scriptures to be able to go over and read and think about through the day. And that's really been helping me. And
Can I give you another scripture, Clayton, that might be helpful for you? In 1 John 1:9, there's a powerful life-changing message here where it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Clayton, brother in Christ, I don't care, you know, whatever's going on, I hear it, and there's consequences, and there's scars, and there's hurt, and there's an uncertainty of the outcome in the relationship with your boys, I understand that. But as far as you, Clayton, my friend, if that's something you've done, you've been freed spiritually. You're a new creation in him. And Satan, according to scripture, is an accuser. He's an enemy. And he will whisper in your ear. He'll scream at you. And he'll put roadblocks in the way to clutter up your life from doing the things you need to do. My encouragement to you, brother, is that you build around yourself. And I hear you say you found a relationship with a woman that's encouraging to you. And she's sharing scripture. And that's good. But I encourage you to make sure you get some good counseling as you're going through that. Because you don't want to have a relationship with a woman based just on that, okay? That's part of it, but not all that. But here's what I would say. Brother, you need to get with some accountability, some other men, godly men, get in a counseling support type group, get some healing going on in your life, and it will unfold the things that you can do to reconnect with those boys and how to do that. But you know what? You made the first step today because as you called here today, that is a huge step to say, hey, I want something better in my life. I'm done with this. I want to move in a new direction. I can't take care of all the things in the past, but I'll do the things I need to and can, but I'm going to look to the future. Because if you stay stuck in the rearview mirror, you're going to have a wreck.
Right. Yeah.
That makes sense?
And I believe, yes, it does. It makes 100% sense. And it's crazy that you say that because I hardly ever listen to this radio station, not because I don't want to, just because I don't really have the time. I'm a co-general manager at where I work, so my schedule, I work a lot, and I don't really have the time to be able to sit down and listen. And right now, it's like the first time I've been able to listen to the radio station in months, and it's just so happens to be on parenting at the time where I can call and talk to you.
Boy, isn't that interesting how that works? Yeah, indeed. Hey, what you're calling from? What part of Michigan, Clayton?
I am calling from Ithaca, Michigan.
Ithaca. All right. I'll tell you what. You hang on. I'm going to have Stephen collect a few things we want to send to you, like the Intentional Word Bible, And maybe a few other resources to encourage you in your parenting and your walk. Let me pray with you, brother. There's no accidents in life. And we're glad you tuned in. We got people praying for you, not only in Ithaca, but all over the country. But just don't let, listen, you've made some huge steps. Homeless, you're working now. You're getting back on your feet. You're giving your life to Christ. You got a testimony developing here, man. Let God continue to work in your life. Let it unfold. Take time. Don't push it. And I just tell people, and I say this bluntly, just don't move from stupid decisions to stupid decisions. I know I'm not supposed to say that on the air. But listen, parents, you know what I'm talking about. The decisions we make matter. The decisions, the number one thing that we teach at Intentional Living is we become a result of the decisions that we make. And so let's stop digging and start making some better decisions. Not perfect. We're humans. And that's true in parenting as well. Father, I do pray for Clayton and every other man and woman listening around the country who have dug a hole and you've rescued them. And as they're pulling up out of the pit, that you'll encourage them. And as they start their journey, they'll be encouraged every day and look back to a day like today and say, wow, I've come a long way. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
So how do you love someone who's an emotionally weak person? I'm not talking about the normal emotions that we have. I have emotional weakness, but when it becomes a pervasive problem to the point where you can't relate well with a person, you can't communicate, you can't get along, it creates a problem, right? Where does our emotional weaknesses come from?
In his message, How to Love the Emotionally Weak, Dr. Randy explains how you can respond in a way that's healthy for both you and the other person. And if you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You know, where can you have a job where you come and talk to people and hear testimonies like that? This is pretty cool stuff. I remind the staff on a regular basis that we really get an opportunity to do some really neat things, talk to you all and love on you, encourage you, and be on this journey of life with you. And I want to say that to our financial members who are supporting us. You're on this journey with us. You're carrying the water, really. That's what you're doing. You're giving us the water, the backing to do what we do. And I made a decision a long time ago with Intentional Living that we're not going to borrow money to operate this ministry. And so we just rely on it. In fact, got a board meeting coming up tomorrow. I go over the financial reports and with our ministry president, Evan Carlson, who brings a report. And we're thankful to report that we haven't borrowed money. We don't need to right now. But here's what happens. If we don't have the support, we have to back off on ministry. We don't want to do that. And so as we wrap up this calendar year here in a few weeks, we need a real shot in the arm. And I just want to ask you to pray about it. As you're able to give to help us close out the year, join us monthly to be on that team. We appreciate it. A lot of cool things going on, and you're a part of it. All right, so what do? You can just call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. Press number 2. It goes right to our team, our staff. Great people. You can make that gift or join us, and we'd love to hear from you right now. 888-888-1717. Press number 2. Or you can go to theintentionallife.com. And boy, I just want to say thank you for your support. We're making a difference today. Asking the question, are we experiencing parenting life as God intended?
Hi, I'm Denise, and I was a single mom. for about 7 years, many years ago. Two things that I learned from God during that time. Number one, He is always faithful. He will never fail us. The other thing was when my boys were with their dad and I didn't know what was going to happen and he was doing things I didn't like and things like that, I wanted to set him straight, and I felt like God said, when the boys are with you, they're your responsibility. When they're not, they are my children, and I will take care of them. And every time I wanted to fix something, God reminded me that they were His boys, and He would take care of them. And all three of those young men are now men married with beautiful families, wonderful daddies, and it's all because God was so faithful during those years.
He gave you some really good advice. If you're divorced, the kids are with the mom and with you, or vice versa, off and on, back and forth, and you can't control what's going on over there, you pray for them like crazy. When they're with you, you be the best mom or dad in the world you can be. And let me tell you something, kids are smart. They pick up on that stuff. All right, let's go to George in Arizona. Hi, George. How are you?
Good afternoon, sir. I'm very well. Thank you.
Appreciate it. What do you want to add on this parenting topic today?
Well, I prayed for my children before I met my wife. Mm-hmm. And the greatest thing I think you can do is pray for your children, especially when they're young, such as Hannah and Samuel. Psalm 103 and Psalm 112 are very good examples to pray for your children. And I have three of the most wonderful daughters on the planet, if anyone ever met them. They're just wonderful wives and daughters. And I had a lot of help from my wife. Let me tell you, I prayed for a wife who could help raise these children. And I prayed. And she basically raised them. But, you know, we all lived together. And I support everything and always pay the rent. And so I'm 64 now. And my children, they're, you know, in their 40s and have families. They're wonderful children. You pray. Right. God will answer prayer, especially when you pray the word.
Yeah. Not only that, which is true, but it changes us. It doesn't only change them. It not only sets the stage for them to know that you're praying for them, but I don't know how you can pray for someone and then not say, I want to be intentional in raising these kids. That would be inconsistent, right? Putting those two things together, powerful. Thank you, George. That's great. Let me go to Alex. Let's go to Tricia, who's going to be joining us. Let me see here. I'm not sure which line. There you go. Gotcha. What's your one thing today, Tricia?
Well, first I have to say I so appreciate your station. I listen to it all the time. It's so uplifting. The music.
Yes.
Everything about it. So it's been very helpful to me because I've been struggling, but I am 75 and have two children. They're married and one grandson. And I've heard people talk about time and how important that is, but it is just so precious and goes by so fast. And when you're going through struggles with kids, crying baby, or they're sick, or they've got some issue at school or whatever it is, that passes, you know. It's important to be with them and help them through because that time's going to be gone. Years ago, we didn't know COVID was going to hit, but we moved to Santa Fe to be closer to our grandson because we were realizing he's growing and the time's going to be gone. We didn't want to just see him a couple times a year. We wanted to be here all the time. So,
was that a good decision?
Oh, yes. And Santa Fe is okay. It's not the place I choose to live, but I'm so grateful to be here.
Yeah. Now, how old is your grandson?
He'll be 15.
15.
So, yeah, I traveled back and forth from Colorado to be here a lot, but we just realized we were missing out on a lot of special things. Like today, he has a lacrosse game and I can be there. So,
yeah
it's important. It's important to be at all those things. And especially when you're going through those struggles, to remember they're going to grow and they're going to go to college and get married. And, you know, and our children still, they're both married and you know, our son lives in New York, but they still get together and they make time to get together. And I hope that's because we've nurtured our family and glad that that's important for them.
That's
too.
Right.
So,
yeah, it's been your priorities. That's good. Thank you for that. Let me see quickly. Alex in New Mexico, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, sir. How are you?
Good. What do you want to contribute today on parenting? What have you learned?
I've learned in the last year, just to let go of a lot of things. You know, there's the very few things matter in relation to, you know, the important things such as family. I let go of a lot of, friendships that really weren't all that beneficial to my spirituality at all. Mainly, you know, people from work that all they want to do is go, you know, go to bars, have drinks or whatever. But, I have strayed a little bit far from Christ. Luckily he brought me back and, I got rid of a lot of things just to focus on being the best father I possibly could.
So you made a decision. Now you say he brought you back. Are you a follower of Christ now? Or have you made that commitment to him?
Absolutely.
Amen. And what difference is that making in your daily intentional decisions with your parenting?
In regards to my parenting, not so much just because I might become a full-time father today, fingers crossed, but...
Today, huh? How about your life, just in general, your life?
In general, I think twice before, they say, whatever you put into your body is what you get back. I think that includes spirituality, absolutely. So I don't listen to the music I used to listen to. I listen to, you know, Christian music or worship songs. I make sure to stay in church often. I make sure to fellowship, even though before I was pretty anti-social. I make the decision not to stop and do things after work or whatever. You know, I try to lead a life that I think might please God, but who knows?
Well, listen, let me just fill in some of the questions around that, Alex. Our objective, you know, there's a scripture passage in Ephesians that says, figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. And we don't do that just because he's going to like us more. We do that because we bring him glory, and in the process, we benefit from it, right? And so here's what I tell everyone listening today. If you're doing things, really get in scripture first and say, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? It should really flow out of the fact that God so loved me, gave his life to me, that I choose to be intentional in giving back to him through my behavior, my attitude, my resources, intentionally to bring glory to him. And in the process, there's a trickle down because we get the benefit from it. In the way we live. That's what these stories are telling us. I tell you what, we got more calls, more encouragement, and I'm going to get to more of it tomorrow, right here on Intentional Living. You can call now, and we'll record it for tomorrow, but you got to call now. Want to hear your parenting story or question at 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy. Have a great day.